What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Thursday, May 2nd. I've got my White Monster energy drink next to me because today I'm certainly going to need it. We have gathered here this hour with the intention of doing pretty much one thing. I hate to do it for an entire hour, but it feels like it needs to happen. It needs to be at least a big part of this hour. My only question is, and I was thinking about this while I was having breakfast this morning. I think a lot when I have breakfast. Here is my only question.
How do I say goodbye to what we have?
Because it's not something easy to do. So while I'm having breakfast this morning, thinking, how do I do this? Besides just playing some Boys to Men. The Miami Heat season is done with. They were destroyed by the Boston Celtics. The series is over. 4-1, the Celtics win. And now the Miami Heat's offseason begins. People are yelling. They're kvetching. They're mad. You're disgruntled. You're aggravated. I could just, maybe that's what I'll do. Maybe I'll just sit here this hour and think of different words. I don't know if I could do that in a one-hour period, that many words, of how a Heat fan feels on this Thursday afternoon. I knew this show was coming. I knew they were not going to win last night. I didn't really think they'd get destroyed again, but I don't know why I didn't think so. I said to myself a few days ago when I looked at the schedule, I said, okay, the Heat are going to be done in 5. Then I'm going to have to do the autopsy on Thursday. Do I want to do it 2 days in a row? No. So this is my plan. I do the autopsy and the funeral today. They happen on the same day. Tomorrow, we'll just have a day of mourning. I don't know if that's supposed to happen before a funeral or the day of, but tomorrow is going to be a day of mourning. And the way that goes here on this program is that there will be no show. Tomorrow, I'm off. You will not hear my voice tomorrow. Tomorrow is a day of mourning. If you want to listen to something else, I don't really suggest that. You should at least keep it here to the station. But my suggestion, if you don't tune in here tomorrow to hear somebody else's voice, just take the day off. Tomorrow is a day of mourning. We get everything out of the way today. The full autopsy report, the cause of death, all of that. And it is not going to be easy to do.
It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
It's very hard. I say that, and maybe I shouldn't have said that, but I'm talking about last night, but the game, not anything else. Anyhow, let's move along. I know that this show is coming every year, unless there's a parade. Whether it happens in early May, mid to late April, last year, the middle of June, every single year, I know the autopsy for the Miami Heat is coming. We haven't had a parade since 2013, which was arguably the greatest year in Miami Heat history. Even though the Heat got destroyed by the Celtics, and there's reasons for it, not to say the Heat would have beaten the Celtics without these reasons, but the Heat franchise is always in contention. And for that, we can be very thankful. They're always in the hunt. The Heat are always relevant. This year, it ended badly and quickly. Maybe you hear some sirens in the background. That's the procession. You know, they're driving to the funeral home and the burial site. They have an escort. Not that type of escort. They have a funeral escort. And I got to be very clear on this show because I know a lot of you think about other things. And so do I, of course. That's why you're here. You're not here for just my sports takes. You want to hear about all the views. Girls. See, I got to liven this thing up. Like, that's what you're supposed to do at a funeral, aren't you? Crack a few jokes. Get people in a sad mood to laugh a little bit. Like, we still take it seriously, but you want to lighten the mood. And that's why you're here. You want the mood lightened. You want the atmosphere to be better. But a funeral is a funeral. There's no way around it. It's a sad day. Last year, everything was going so well with this Heat team, in the playoffs at least. I was in Denver for the NBA Finals. The Panthers were in the Stanley Cup Final at the same time. Jimmy Butler was working out before a playoff game in a Matthew Tkachuk jersey. All of it was awesome. And now, at least we have half of the story still happening. The Panthers' run from last year, it continues into this season because they've already moved on to round two. So after today, because I'm off tomorrow, beginning on Monday here on this show, the floor will be all for the Florida Panthers. Deservingly so. Once that second round begins, and we'll find out very soon when it begins and who they're playing, the Florida Panthers will have South Florida's undivided attention. It'll be interesting to see how far the Florida Panthers can go. See if they can win the Stanley Cup, have a parade down the Sawgrass Expressway or in Sawgrass Mills. In all seriousness, if the Panthers do win the Stanley Cup, the parade, I would bet a lot on this. It would be in Fort Lauderdale. But we're not even near a parade yet. We were pretty close last year before the Stanley Cup Final started. But we're not near there yet. First, we got to see if they're going to take on Boston or Toronto. And then if they win that series, they'll take on Carolina or the Rangers. Oh, I would love that. I've been telling you I want Panthers-Rangers Eastern Conference Final. That would be fantastic. So you tell me so far. I've been talking just about 8 minutes now. The show hasn't started yet. This is just like pre-show. Am I doing okay in the sense of making things a little bit brighter and a little joyous mood for all of us in South Florida after what happened last night? I feel like I am. And I wasn't even sure if I'd be able to do it. Because remember,
it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
Now, playing that song, I know it doesn't help, but things need to be said and we just got to keep it real. But it's all going to be about the Florida Panthers very soon, after today. I'm going to really like the fact that if I go into a sports bar in South Florida, if I go into, let's say, one of my favorite, Flanagan's, if I go into Flanagan's, I'm not going to have to ask for a manager to change a television to put it on the Florida Panthers game. It's going to be all about the Florida Panthers. The Panthers are going to be the big deal in South Florida. They're going to be talked about everywhere. They're going to be the lead story on every sportscast. They're going to be even part of a newscast. Last year, it was not like that. They had to share their time with the Heat, and it's not 50-50. It's like 80%, I'll say 80% Heat, 20% of Florida Panthers, because we know basketball is just above hockey. But now that there's no more basketball in South Florida, now all the attention turns to the Florida Panthers, and the TVs at restaurants and sports bars, they will have the game on. You won't have to ask for it. Hey, the puck dropped 5 minutes ago. Can you turn it on? Because they're showing some rugby game or lacrosse. I've had that happen before. It's pretty sad, but I don't think it's going to happen the rest of May and hopefully halfway through June. All right, I got a lot to get to. Mainly one topic, but things need to be said. I can't say anything else, though, until this hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
This series, which is now over, and thank gosh it is, it was a complete and total mismatch. At no point, even after game two, did I think the Miami Heat had a legitimate shot to win this series. Did I get excited after game two? Did a lot of Heat fans get excited? Well, maybe, you know, it's 1-1 and they're coming back home and you just win one game at home and now you're going back to Boston for game five and it's 2-2. Yeah, we got excited. We're fans. How can we not get excited? But did I ever realistically think the Miami Heat was going to win this series? No. Boston is just so much better. And when you look at their team from last year to this year, what a difference. The additions of Holiday and Porzingis. And Porzingis missed the game. Came out of the last one. But overall, that was a huge deal for them. Tatum and Brown continue to grow. Their bench is really good. The Celtics are a team that's most likely going to win the Eastern Conference. And they could win the title. They could be hoisting the trophy. The Miami Heat had no chance in this series. And the reason they had zero chance is because they did not have enough. I'm not saying this as an excuse. Sometimes people from other cities, sometimes someone from that city, like let's say Boston right now, will tune in to a South Florida show. Maybe it's this one. Oh my gosh, what are they saying? Are they crying in Miami and Fort Lauderdale and the Palm Beaches? No, we're not crying. We're not making up excuses. The Miami Heat just did not have enough. They didn't have enough players. How can you even come close? How can you compete with a powerhouse such as the Boston Celtics when you are without your best players? Spo can say all day, because it's his job to say, we have enough. We have the players. We should be able to win this game. He can say that as much as he wants. Again, that is his job. He's the head coach. He's not going to tell the media before the game, yeah, I don't think we're going to win this one. Bet against us. He's not going to say that. But Spo knows, even though he likes to be creative, he likes to have those Spo games where he's the one that's able to put everything together and create the possibility where the Heat could win without enough manpower. I think as much as Spo might somewhat enjoy that challenge, he would much rather have his best players on the court. You know, on this show, I'm always all about honesty. When you're playing without Jimmy Butler and Terry Rozier, and Duncan Robinson's on the floor, but he's not healthy, how are you going to win? You do not, forget about winning, you do not even have enough to compete. And you saw in those last three games, the Miami Heat were not competitive at all. These games were blowouts. It wasn't even fun to watch. Halftime came around. The second quarter came around. Heck, the first quarter. The first quarter, you knew the Miami Heat were done. Just go do whatever you planned on doing the rest of the night, because that game was done and over with. If the Heat had Jimmy and Scary Terry and Healthy Duncan, I still think Boston wins this series, but it probably would have gone 6 or 7. It would have been way more entertaining. The Miami Heat would have had a chance to beat the Celtics, but this Heat team, they had no shot at all. I think a lot of us forget how remarkable playoff Jimmy is. Because when I say if the Heat had Jimmy, they would have had a chance, it's true, because playoff Jimmy is another level. The dude took an 8-seed Miami Heat team last year to the NBA Finals. He took the team in the bubble to the NBA Finals and won 2 games in it. You remember that Milwaukee series from last season? The first series? 1-8? Jimmy Butler, he isn't just one of the best playoff performers right now. Jimmy is one of the all-time playoff performers. He does literally everything. And given that the Heat's main problem was that they couldn't score, and I'd say that's a pretty big issue in a basketball game or any game. Is there a sporting event where if you don't score, it's good? I don't think so. The Heat had game after game in the 80s. That may not have been bad 20 years ago when they were taking on the Knicks. Maybe that could have won a game. Probably did. But now, forget about it. You're scoring in the 80s? Not only are you not winning, you're not even coming close. If Jimmy Butler was in there, come on, there would have been a big difference. Again, not saying the Heat would have won, but there would have been a big difference. How many pick sixes did the Miami Heat have this entire series? Did you see many or any? I mean, Jimmy has those all the time. Steals the ball, goes coast to coast for a score. It felt like the Heat had none here. So many empty possessions the Heat had. Jimmy would have settled them down, gave them confidence, gave them a consistent weapon on the court to where they can give him the ball, give him some space, and let him do his thing. Would have been huge. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying why the Heat got blown out. And then Scary Terry, same deal. He would have been monstrous. Miami clearly had problems handling the basketball. So many turnovers, so many mistakes. The ball, it just wasn't popping. It wasn't moving. The spacing was bad. The Heat didn't get into very good offense. All of the things that I just described there, it's because Miami didn't have a point guard. So you got no playoff Jimmy. You got no regular Jimmy. You got no Jimmy at all. You don't even have bad Jimmy. No Jimmy. And you don't have a point guard. Tyler Hero had to assume the role of a point guard. He's not used to that, and he wasn't very good at it. Bam, he was asked to do more offensively than he usually is asked, and really, if there was any star, it kind of sounds stupid to say there was a star for the Heat in this series because they got whooped, but if you had to pick the Heat's best player, by far it was Bam. I know today and last night and this entire series, the Heat fan base is crushing Tyler Hero, and I understand why. Tyler deserves a lot of this bashing. He was bad in this series, except for Game 2. Game 2, he was exceptional. Boston's guards are really good defenders, and I think the combination of Jrue Holiday and Derek White, it was a lot for Tyler to handle. It was a bad series for him, and it was disappointing to see that because Tyler missed last year's playoffs after breaking his hand in Game 1. That happened in the Bucks series. This was his opportunity to shine. Jimmy's not in there. Scary Terry's not there. This is your opportunity. This is your chance. And Tyler didn't do anything. He wasn't even mediocre. He was terrible. And then what about Duncan Robinson? The story on Duncan this year had been how much his game had improved. Dwayne Wade famously, during his retirement, called Duncan Robinson one job. He had one job, and that job was to knock down three-pointers. But Duncan became way more than one job. His game got better and better and better, and he started to show the ability to get off that dribble and to pass and to do a lot. And unfortunately, the Heat got nothing from Duncan this series because he could barely move with a back injury. So that's another weapon that was taken away. What was really expected here? What are you going to do now? You're going to get mad at DeLon Wright? DeLon wasn't a star? Look, DeLon Wright is a fine role player. He's a backup who could play a bit. But to be... Was that a clown horn in the background? What was that? I mean, the Heat were clowned out of this series, but for DeLon Wright to be starting in a playoff game, that just shows you how bad the Heat were banged up. I liked seeing Jovic and Jaime Jaquez Jr. I know Jaime hurt his hip and he missed the game last night, but at least they were able to get the playoff experience. It wasn't a great one, but they got their feet wet. I like both of those guys. They've got huge upsides. Both can be really good players in the NBA. Jaime already looks comfortable because of his college experience. And Jovic keeps getting better. The amount that he improved this season, it was tremendous. The sky's the limit on those two guys. That I really believe. Not to say I don't believe anything else I've said the past 20 minutes. I still do believe the Miami Heat would have had a chance and taken this series to six or seven games if they were healthy. I don't know if that's saying a whole lot. They took it to five being completely unhealthy. So what would one extra game be? But they could have got it to a game seven, maybe even taken down the Celtics, beaten them. So now that the Miami Heat season is done and over with and their funeral is happening right now on this show, the autopsy, the cause of the Heat's death, we've talked about it, but how do we move forward now? We have the offseason, but how do we make sure we're not doing another burial in late April or early May next season? How do we get to the chance where we don't do a funeral at all? And if we're going to do one, it's not until at least early or mid-June. What type of changes do the Miami Heat really need to make? I'll give you my thoughts in just a moment. Here's a change you need to make. If you're buying a home, need a mortgage, or you're refinancing, whatever you're doing now, whoever you're calling, stop and get a hold of Stewie, because Stewie's got the bagel loan. The bagel loan, it's incredible. See, when you look at a bagel, there's a zero in the middle of it. And that's what the bagel loan is all about. Zero. That is what you will pay Stewie. Nothing. Zero. No lender fees. No appraisal fees. Stewie has got the bagel loan for you. And I'm telling you, if you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, or you're refinancing, you want the bagel loan. That's what Stewie has. Now, let me tell you what I have, because this is very important. I have Stewie's personal cell phone number, and I'm going to give it to you, because you need the bagel loan if you're buying a home, if you need a mortgage, or you're refinancing, and the only way you're going to get it is by calling Stewie. So here's Stewie's personal cell phone number, 561-379-4441. That's 561-379-4441. If you're buying a home, need a mortgage, or refinancing, you want to call Stewie for the bagel loan where you pay him nothing. MLS number 226715. We're 2 days away from the Kentucky Derby. You could watch the Kentucky Derby and wager on the Kentucky Derby at Gulfstream Park. Plus, at Gulfstream Park, they've got live races going on as well. Not only on Saturday, they got them going on right now today on a Thursday, and also tomorrow on a Friday and Sunday, 4 days a week. It is the Royal Palm Meet happening at Gulfstream Park. Live racing every Thursday through Sunday. And this Saturday is a big day at Gulfstream Park. Even though the Kentucky Derby's at Churchill Downs, you can have a lot of fun at Gulfstream, a great atmosphere, and wager on the Kentucky Derby as well. What I highly suggest, going to Gulfstream Park's trackside restaurant, Ten Palms. That's where I love to be. Not only will you watch the races live there in front of you, but all the screens, they'll have the Kentucky Derby on, the wagers they're taking there, and you'll have a fantastic meal at the same time. Make a reservation, though. Visit GulfstreamPark.com for all of the details. Head on out any live race day, even this Saturday for the Kentucky Derby. You could watch it and wager in Hollandale Beach at Gulfstream Park. What kind of changes will the Miami Heat be making this offseason? Because you know they're coming. How do you evaluate this Miami Heat team? I don't think you could just look at the Celtics series because they were missing so much. Can you say this Heat team underperformed? You can when you're talking about the regular season. The Miami Heat were good enough to get to the NBA Finals last season. How could they not be good enough to get a top six seed in the Eastern Conference this season? I think they were good enough, but they didn't act like it. They just coasted. Now, I don't know if that was intentional or it just worked out that way because of injuries or whatever else was going on. But whatever the case was, the Miami Heat put themselves in a tough spot where they had to go to a play-in game and then a second play-in game to get in, just like last year, and then disaster struck. Jimmy goes down, and then that was it. So when you evaluate, to move forward, you got to evaluate what happened. You can't just move forward and not do an evaluation. The Miami Heat will hold their meetings. Riley, Spo, Mickey Arison, they'll get into a room. Andy Ellisberg. And they'll say, what the heck was that? What the heck was that, and what do we do next? The problem is, you could make a strong argument that this team was good enough to contend with anyone. I'm not saying that they would have been. I'm just saying you can make that argument. You can say we were definitely good enough to win this thing, but Jimmy got hurt, Terry got hurt, Duncan got hurt, Josh Richardson got hurt. In the end, Jaime Hawkins Jr. got hurt, but it was already done and over with. He wouldn't have been a difference maker. But Jimmy, Terry, Duncan, Richardson, would that be a case if they were in agreement? Would that be a case for running it back? And I know a Heat fan does not want to hear that. I just don't know the answer to what, at least I don't know the answer to what they would say in that room. I don't think they should run it back. I think they should change everything. I'm just saying there could be an argument where they say, we could have had this, but the injuries, things happen, and it affected us. It affected our ability to win. Now, all of us, we're all analysts. We all want to be the GM, the team president, the head coach, and sports talk radio. That's just what we do. Not only would I not run it back, I would take the next month or two, when the full NBA offseason begins in about a month and a half, I would have a plan ready to go. And part of that plan on paper would say, Kevin Durant. I know he's old, but Kevin Durant is one of the greatest scorers the game has ever seen. I would also have on a piece of paper, LeBron James. The Heat, maybe they'll be in the running to get LeBron back. I would have on another piece of paper, Donovan Mitchell. What would the Miami Heat be willing to give up? Will the Heat extend Jimmy Butler? Will they extend Bam? You got Caleb becoming a free agent. Is Caleb worth keeping? Kevin Love, is he still going to play and can he still be effective? There's a lot of papers, a lot of notes. The Miami Heat, in my view, and that's what I'm here for. It's the Andy Slater Show. I'm not here to give you somebody else's view or talk about somebody else's view on television like a lot of other shows do in South Florida. Hey, this guy said this. I don't care what that guy said. I've got a show. You want to hear what I say, not a commentator on television. I would absolutely not come back with anything near the same. Pat Riley cannot run it back. That would be the worst decision ever. And as much as we've all come to really like the young players, if Jaime Jaquez Jr. was the holdup to get, let's say, Donovan Mitchell, sorry, Jaime, you got to go. Or Jovic. And I know the Miami Heat are drooling over Jovic's development and his potential. My gosh. But Jovic, if he can bring you great value, what do? I don't know who is ultimately going to come to Miami, but good players are going to be moved. Around the league, they're going to be moved. When you look at some of the teams and some of the star power that's already out of the playoffs, you better believe there are going to be some really good players available. There's going to be a lot of changing of teams, and there's going to be more whale hunting. I think there's going to be plenty of whales out there, some surprising. And the Miami Heat need to do whatever it takes to get one of those whales. The Heat needed to learn something this year, and it stinks that it came at the expense of a season, but I really think there was a type of organizational arrogance after what happened last year. Instead of saying, I can't believe it, we were an 8 seed and we went to the NBA Finals, that's crazy, that may never happen again in the history of the game. I mean, I'm just exaggerating there, but maybe it doesn't. Instead of saying that, the Heat painted culture on their court, and they said they're the best conditioned team and acted as if, hey, wake me up when the playoffs begin. They had just a lax attitude. They were just going to relax and take it easy, like they were listening to the song in their locker room before every single game. It's all good. We'll just go out there. Yeah, we'll take it easy. But when it matters, we'll be there. And guess what? They weren't. Injuries came to the team and they were an 8 seed. They didn't have to be an 8 seed, but they were because they were taking it easy. And you can't do that. All 82 matter. Guys need to play more. Guys need to care more. The Heat should have been a top 2 or 3 seed in the East. They should have gotten a week off after the season rather than fighting for their lives in a play-in game at 2 of them. They should have had home court. They should have established a real home court instead of not caring because they were so bad at home this season. So many things went wrong that really didn't have to. So there's a lot to correct. I think that's mainly what I'm referring to here. It's not just coming from one angle. I think the individual players need to work on their games. The collective team needs to work on their attitudes and their approach to the season. Spo, he also needs to tweak his message. He's got to get the most from his guys always, not just when they want. And Pat Riley needs to look at the market. He's got to not only see what's out there, but he's got to grab what's out there. Pat Riley must improve this roster. Some of you are looking to improve the way you get around your neighborhood or get around town, and you could do that with one of those amazing carts that you may have seen around your neck of the woods. And I'm not just talking about some regular golf cart. I am talking about Kliggy's carts. Kliggy's carts are so much more than a golf cart. Kligge's carts are all aluminum. And not only does Kligge have 48-volt carts, he's got the 72-volt street-legal carts. With a street-legal cart, you're going to be legit. You're going to have a license plate. You're going to have a VIN number. That means you could get pulled over, too. We've talked about those instances, so you got to be careful, even though when you're driving a golf cart, we saw the video. I had the scoop on that. But we're talking about the real deal, and that is what you will get from Kligge's carts, because Kligge is the real deal, and he's also an exclusive Royal EV dealer. If you're going to get one heck of a cart, you want to get it from Kligge's carts. Go ahead and Google for yourself Kligge's carts. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about, and that's Kligge with a K. You can also go test drive the cart for yourself. I'm not saying grab your neighbor and, hey, can I go for a ride? Can I test drive it? No. Go to Kligge's carts yourself. They're located at 1751 West Copens Road in Pompano Beach. And if you mention Andy Slater, you're going to get a $2,000 rebate. If you are going to get one heck of a cart, you want to get it from Kligge's carts. Should he stay or should he go? Who am I talking about? Tyler Herro. I like Tyler Herro. I think Tyler Herro can be a really good offensive player. His defense is meh, but I do think Tyler Herro is a bucket. But for what he is making in Miami, Tyler Herro is not a star. Other than game two, where he was fantastic, the best he's played, his playmaking was great, his shot making was great. But other than that game, did Tyler Herro show you anything in this series? Anything that, where if the Heat said we're trading Tyler Herro, you would be devastated and you'd be crying? I don't think so. For me, Tyler Herro is expendable. You obviously want a big return, but is he moving the needle in Miami? Certainly didn't this season. If Jimmy Butler is still with the Heat next season, and I would say that's a big if, really, I do believe it's a big if, because he could be somebody they move. You could move Jimmy to get a different whale. But if Jimmy is back, I don't expect him to be this huge leader. Bam, he's the captain. And I thought Bam handled those duties relatively well. Jimmy, if he's back, there needs to be changes, and I don't see Jimmy making those changes. Jimmy in the offseason works out with his buddies. He shows up as emo Jimmy to media day. Like, none of that stuff is worth it unless he's playoff Jimmy. Jimmy needs to put all the focus on first getting better from his knee injury, but also this summer getting back into the lab and working on his game and working on being engaged the entire regular season. And I don't know if Jimmy wants to do that. And the other players notice it. Spo knows. The Heat organization knows. Trust me, they know. Not just fans see it. The Heat organization sees it. If you have playoff Jimmy, that, of course, matters. He can make an actual difference. But if you have Jimmy from game 1 to 82, then you're not going to wind up with a play-in game and an 8 seed. If you have caring Jimmy, playoff Jimmy is great, but you need caring Jimmy. During this offseason, the one thing I do not want to hear from anyone is run it back. Like I was just talking about last segment, I don't think there's anyone that wants to run it back. Am I afraid that the Heat may deal Jaime Jaquez Jr. or Jovich? I'm not, because if Pat Riley does deal them, the Heat are going to get somebody that's going to make a huge difference immediately. You would love to keep those guys, but you've got to give something to get something. And I'm sure this offseason, that's how it's going to work. I'll tell you how my poker tournament works. It's coming up in less than 2 weeks. Tuesday night, May 14th at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. There's $20,000 minimum in the prize pool, and it's just $250 to buy in. The tournament begins at 6 p.m. Tuesday night, May 14th. You can register, though, until 9:30 p.m. on that night. So if you don't get out of work until 6 or 6:30, first of all, what's up with your boss? Secondly, you have until 9:30 p.m. on Tuesday night, May 14th, to get in to my tournament. It's a lot of fun. We all get to hang out. We get to play cards, and you guys get to fight for second place because I always plan to take first. Put a reminder in your phone right now. Tuesday night, May 14th, it's the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament with $20,000 guaranteed in the prize pool at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. I'm almost done burying the Miami Heat, but I want to say what's most disappointing about what we just saw, specifically about this series. The games that Boston won, they were basically over at the half. What were we watching after halftime? We're watching a blowout. Was it fun seeing the Celtics up 30 in the third quarter? Last night, the Miami Heat hit three threes. That's it. Three three-pointers the whole game. You're down 30. You're not going to come back by knocking down some twos. That's just not how basketball works. As a Heat fan, as someone who appreciates good basketball, these games were not even competitive. Game two, yes, the Miami Heat won. Game one, game three, game four, game five last night, they were blowouts. They weren't even fun to watch. They gave you no thrill at all. Boston fans, I'll tell you this. Don't mess around and have the fraud Bruins win tonight. Okay, all Boston fans, not just Celtics fans. Because if the Bruins win tonight, they win the series. If they don't, they still have another chance. But all that hurting that Boston fans took out on the Heat, you are going to have your hands full with our Florida Panthers. And the Panthers will be well rested. Boston had their fun. They beat up on the Heat. Yeah, they may go to the NBA Finals. They should. But I can assure you, as far as the Boston versus South Florida thing, if the Panthers go to the TD Garden, it will be a much more competitive team that you're facing. Physical games. The Panthers will bring the fight to the Boston Bruins. And all those Boston fans right now that are laughing at South Florida, you guys will have a lot less to laugh about. No show tomorrow. I'm off. We'll do it again on Monday. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.